Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Steph Thurling. I'm the Executive Director of Christian Parenting, a mom of three, and I am so glad that you're here. This is a place where you can bring your real self, no matter what that looks like today, and be given the space, resources, and encouragement you need to set aside perfection and grow into the perfectly imperfect parent God made you to be. If you are looking for a great resource to help guide your family in prayer, I'm excited to tell you about the 1 Year Pray for the Family Bible. This 1 Year Bible is divided into daily readings designed to guide you through the entire Bible in a year. But the arrangement doesn't take you straight through from Genesis to Revelation. Instead, each day you will find a portion of the Old Testament and the New Testament, plus short readings from Psalms and Proverbs too. Additionally, this Bible has daily prayer prompts that focus on some of the most pressing issues facing families today. So if you want to incorporate more prayer into your family, this is a fantastic resource and guide. You can go to theoneyearbible.com to learn more. Again, that's theoneyearbible.com. I know as a mom, it is so easy to put everybody else's needs ahead of yours. And I know this because I do it too. But when hormonal changes start to take a toll on your body, it is definitely time to start taking care of you. Hormone health is so much more than just a few symptoms. It affects everything from your moods, your energy levels, to how you cope with stress. If you're a woman, you know how easily hormones can get out of balance, especially with all the daily stresses of life. And when that happens, it can feel like everything else is off too. But what if there is a simple habit that you could add to your routine that could make a huge difference? That's where Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth comes in. Happy Mammoth, the company that started Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, especially moms. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The results are so impressive, you guys. There are over 40,000 reviews on their website, and women cannot stop talking about it on social media and in real life too. I know so many people who use Hormone Harmony and absolutely love it. In fact, a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CPPODCAST at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CPPODCAST for 15% off today. I'm really honored to introduce you guys to my friend Tabitha Schmidt. Tabby has an incredible story of God's faithfulness, goodness, and kindness that you really don't want to miss. I was so happy to have her on the show. If you are or have ever been in a place where you have said, "Why, God?" Tabby's story is for you. See, God has been preparing Tabby to raise a child with special needs her entire life, but she was still not prepared to discover at 36 weeks pregnant that her second baby would have severe disabilities and special needs. But this discovery forced Tabby to let go of her need for control and her desire to be perfect and ushered in a surrender to the Lord that changed her and her husband forever. Tabby is a wife, she's a mom of three kids, an artist, a children's book author, a small business owner, and is passionate about raising a generation of fiery warriors for God's kingdom. I know that you're going to adore her as much as I do. Hi, Tabby. Welcome to the Christian Parenting Podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
You guys, this is really fun. So Tabby was actually my roommate when we studied abroad together in London. Like, we were trying to figure out how many years ago, but we don't know anymore.
15 plus.
Closer to the plus side. But we gallivanted across Europe together and got into all sorts of shenanigans and had so much fun. And all these years later, we get to talk about God and his faithfulness and families. And it's just so cool how he weaves all things together for his kingdom. So I am just so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you. Me too. I feel like we should actually be sprinting across Hyde Park to go ride horses.
We did do that. Yes.
What we need to be doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds great. We can do that later. Let's plan it. Plan it for sure. Oh, okay. Man. So for people who don't know you, can you tell us about your family?
So my name is Tabitha. My artist name is Tabitha Page. So I'm actually a full-time artist. I paint. I write children's books. I kind of have a whole side business in life. But I'm promise I'm getting to this. This all like weaves into my family. So I have three children. I have a almost seven-year-old, a four-year-old little boy, Declan. He has special needs, which we'll get into a little bit later. And then I have an 18-month third child who's third child through and through. And then I'm married to my husband, Jordan, and we've been married, I'm not even going to try to pick that number, I think 13 years. And we just are living just a bizarre life that we had not planned. We run two small businesses. We're very much a family business, so our kids are very much involved in all our business ventures. So that is our family.
And can you give me one word or phrase to describe your family?
Unique. We are very unique. We do things differently. Sometimes I get in my echo chamber on social media and I'm like, oh, everybody's doing what we're doing. And then last night I was scrolling through Facebook and I was like, oh my goodness, we're so weird. We are the weirdest people.
I think that's a great word. I love it. And we'll talk more about what you guys are doing and the vision that you have for your family a little bit later. But before we get into that, I also ask everyone, what's one thing that you want every parent to know?
Well, jumping off our unique family and lifestyle, I think it's important for people to know that there's no one way to do life. God doesn't put our life in a box. God is definitely not in the box. And if you look at Jesus's life, man, did he live a radical life. And if you think you have to be quote unquote normal to walk with Christ, you're wrong. You probably need to step outside of that little box or out of that box a little bit, because he calls us all to live radically and differently. And I think as Americans and Westerners, we get so used to this is how we're supposed to do things. And I think especially now in this day and age, we need to start getting comfortable with being different and walking outside of that path. And a lot of times that's walking even closer to God when we step outside of that box.
Yeah, I love that. So let's go back to your family and your uniqueness. So you mentioned your son, Declan, who you call Ducky. And I want to talk a little bit about him. You mentioned already that he has some special needs. And before we started recording, you were sharing that you don't necessarily even identify with a lot of special needs parents because his situation is so unique. So tell us a little bit about him. And you found out that he was going to have special needs way late into your pregnancy, like 2 weeks before he was delivered. So tell us kind of what it was like to process learning this, what your whole experience has been like.
For sure. So just for a frame of reference, in my previous life, before I became a full-time artist, I was actually a speech therapist. I worked with primarily children with special needs. In fact, going back all the way to high school, middle school, I would say that was always a spiritual gift of mine, was relating to children with special needs. It was just something that was always a part of me. I was always a buddy to a child with special needs. It was just who God made me to be. And at a very early age, I felt the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, you're going to have a child with special needs. And my whole life, I have wrestled with this. I have had internal conversations with God. No, not me. Like, nope. I can just be a tool. I can just work with other people's children. Like, let it not be me. But really, in my heart of hearts, I knew. As a high schooler, I knew, okay, this is going to be my path. I didn't want it, but it was going to be my path. So fast forward to when me and Jordan had our first little one, Lacey. She was a little fireball from the very beginning. And shortly after she was born, she started to have some health issues. I don't really ever talk about this just because Declan's story our story shifted. But this is just a good, it's nice to go back and kind of reflect on how I ended up and how we ended up to where we were. So she was born with some health issues. I was actually suffering from some issues myself. We would later find out we had mold-related illnesses, both of us. And all that to say is that she struggled a lot in the beginning. Right now, she's thriving. She's perfectly wonderful. We don't struggle anymore. But at the time, things were really, really challenging and difficult. And so after, when she was about two and we decided we were ready to go to have a second child, I had made up my mind that I was going to be perfect. I was going to do this pregnancy thing, like, knock it out of the park. I made like a list. I was like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create the perfect baby. I'm going to do it. And so I made up my mind, no sugar, my whole pregnancy, there will be no sugar, no brownie, no cookies, no cake, nothing. I'm going to be perfect. So health-wise, I was going to just like do all the things. Cleaned up our environment, you know, all the crunchy, crazy mom things you see out there. I did all the things. Had a wonderful pregnancy. So this is with Declan. All the way up until 8.5 months, things were going well. I had a really awesome headspace. I'm like, this baby's going to be so healthy. This is going to be great. Like, everything's going so well. Well, I had one little red flag, and that's something called polyhydramnios. So I had just too much amniotic fluid. And so that was, my midwife was like, look, you're almost full term. This is something we really need to look at. Before, I was planning to have a home birth. My first was born in the hospital, but it was like a natural water birth. And I was like, okay, we're going to do a home birth this time. It's going to be even better. You know, part of the plan. This was the plan. Everything was like going accordingly.
The grand master plan.
The grand master plan. Went to that first high-risk doctor appointment. Walked in and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be anything. I did it right. So, you know, there's no failing here. And she started the sonogram. And within about a minute, she started listing off all of the things that were wrong with my child. Shortened bones, missing parts of the brain, possible dwarfism was one thing she said. At this point, I went numb. And so it's all a blur at that point. But my whole paradigm in life just shattered right before me. Here I had done all the things perfect. And here I was experiencing somebody talking about, you know, almost dehumanizing the baby in my womb, talking about it like it was this broken, talking about Declan like he was this broken thing. And she got to his heart and said, oh, and has nobody said anything about his heart? I said, no. She said, oh, there's something massively wrong with his heart. You need to see a cardiologist in like an hour. She left the room and I hit the floor. Literally, the bones left my body, like fell on the floor. And like I said, I kind of blacked out after that for the next couple days until I went to the cardiologist and I was thinking, oh God, God, this is obviously a mistake. This is a test. I have a perfect baby in my tummy and this is just a test. So then I started to convince myself, no, they're wrong. This isn't what's really happening. Everything's fine. Go to that heart doctor appointment, and that her cardiologist says, your baby's probably not going to survive birth. If they survive birth, he's going to be on a ventilator and will have to have multiple heart surgeries for the rest of his life. And this is secondary to something greater. So he probably has a severe genetic syndrome. Let's go ahead and do amniotesis. I never can say that word right. Where they extract DNA and they test it for genetic. And I'm like, we're like 2 weeks out from him being born. Like, what is even the point of this? And later we would find out through another conversation that they were even trying to decide if his life would be worth saving based on what that genetic information told us. So a lot of things going on here in my mind, in my husband's mind, still in denial, still thinking, no, this just cannot be. This is all just a big, big, terrible mistake. Went to Google, was like, oh, this has to be like one of those crazy stories where it's like a false, you know, whatever. For the next 2 weeks, I basically laid in bed preparing to either deliver a child, really to just deliver a child that wasn't going to survive birth. That was kind of where I ended up having to like land in my head, that it's either going to be that or I'm going to have a healthy baby. There was nothing in between for me. Like, I didn't even want to believe that there was an in between. That was just, okay, these are my two options. We get to his birth, and my water broke. We went immediately to the hospital. We had made a plan that they were going to try to allow me to still have a natural birth, which I desperately wanted for him. Part of the plan, you know, if I can hold on to like a sliver of the plan, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Had a 36-hour labor, but in the end, I was ultimately able to have a natural birth with a little of Pitocin, which was terrible. But thank God I was able to have that natural birth. And he was born. They brought him up to my chest and they said, you have 1 minute with your baby. Mm-hmm. And my husband kind of nuzzled into me and we held Declan close. And I believed like that was it. Like, this is my moment. This is my time with my child. And then that's it. I handed him over, and they at that moment they said, "Oh well, you know, he doesn't have to have a ventilator. Like, he's actually breathing. Like, first step, we're good, actually good here." Yeah. But still, in my head, I'm like, "Okay, he's going. They're going to take him away to the NICU, and that's going to be it." They took him away. I had to recover. You know, they make you wait for like 2 hours before you're allowed to go. So my husband went with him. I was expecting when I got there for him to not still be on this earth. Mm-hmm. I get there, he's all hooked up to everything, but he's okay. And I start looking him over, and at that moment I'm thinking, okay, he's still alive. So now what? Like, now what's my processing going to look like? Where are we going from here? And I do have to note, in this part of the story, like reflecting back, I don't remember doing a lot of talking to God. I don't remember praying, which is really odd because I, you know, I've always had a faith, a strong faith. God has always been a big part of my life. But I mean, and you hear in my story, I had really grabbed the reins in this pregnancy story and totally closed the door on God. That he had anything to do with this pregnancy. I decided to take it on myself. So it's interesting reflecting back, not hearing God anywhere in this, nowhere yet. Over the next couple days, we kind of were processing what's going on, figured out where we were going here. I think a week in, we got the diagnosis that he in fact did have a rare genetic syndrome called 3p deletion syndrome. Never heard of it. They said there's like 50 kids in the world with this syndrome. Didn't have any idea what it meant. All I knew is my child was going to have severe disabilities. Started looking through the pamphlets and the Facebook pages, realizing there's no way to know where my child's going to fall on the spectrum of this disability. But in my mind, in my clinical brain that I had seen so many children with disabilities, I could look at him and I just knew. I knew where our life was headed. Not in a cynical way, in just a very realistic way that, okay, you know, it was shortly after he was born that I think we found out he was going to probably be blind and a feeding disorder. There's something in me that I knew again, I think I call it the Holy Spirit, just put it on my heart that I needed to start grieving and burying a normal life because I knew he wasn't going to speak probably. Or walk. I didn't know for sure, later down, you know, months later, I would know for sure. Everybody else in my family, including my husband, still had this hope that everything was going to be normal. But the Lord put a spirit of understanding on my heart, just my heart, that I knew, and he had prepared me my whole life. He'd prepared me as a teenager. He'd prepared me in my skills as a speech therapist, specifically a feeding therapist. He had been preparing me for decades for this moment with my son. And I just had a understanding. And so that grieving process started so early. So many parents don't start that grieving process until 3, 4, 5 years old. Oh, you know, they're realizing their child's not speaking. They're realizing, okay, there's something going on. I call it the gift. God gave me a gift of understanding early to start that process so early. So I wasn't spending years and years in toil. Because that's my personality. My personality is just over research, over study, overdo all the things, neglecting all the important things in your life to just hyper focus on this one thing. So that was God's gift to me. We spent a month in the NICU, and during that time, God just transformed our hearts. Me and Jordan, my husband, both. We call it one of our happiest times in our life. That month, we spent digging into the Word. There were days when I couldn't even pray, and I would just read scripture that I had written down, that I couldn't pray. Like, that was all I could do. Mm-hmm. But there was an undoing that happened during that month, just an undoing of, you know, what's normal? What's normal in my life? One thing that my best friend's brother, who has a child with Down syndrome, he messaged me. I was messaging him. I was just crying for help in every direction. And he sent me something. And he said, look, there's no normal life. There's just life. Mm. It's actually a quote from, I think it's from Tombstone. Anyways, a Western maybe. I was thinking it was like a scripture or something. He's like, no, it's from Tombstone. My mom says it all the time.
Mom's a good quote.
I know, right? And I was at that moment, I was like, you're right. And that just shifted everything for me and Jordan on what normal look like. What does our life, what do we want our life to look like with this as part of our story? And like I said, God really entered in that moment. I mean, I realized I had to lay down all that control and all that self-fulfillment that I had given myself, because it was very evident I had no control. And he was very graciously showing me that in a slow and gentle way that I could process it. And I'm so grateful for that undoing. I can't imagine where I would be if I still had that type of grip on my children and on life. I would be a complete mess. So that gift of just releasing control and realizing we as moms, we have very, very little control over God's plan, and embracing what he's given us in our life and the child he's given us, and not spending our whole life trying to figure out how to put our child in the box of the world or the box of, you know what an American family looks like, or what a specific type of child looks like. But who did God make my child to be? And what calling did he give our family? And how is that a reflection of God and his call for our life here on earth, and how we can draw people to know God and know the gospel and through our story?
So you all know that I am passionate about prayer, both teaching kids to pray and empowering families to pray together, because I believe that God can and will transform families for his kingdom through prayer. So I absolutely love the 1-year Pray for the Family Bible from Tyndale. This Bible invites us to deepen our relationship with God and the families he has blessed us with. The Bible has daily prayer prompts that focus on some of the most pressing issues facing families today. So each day's scripture reading helps us discover answers and guidance in God's Word. You and your family will read through the entire Bible in a year while spending focused time praying for your family and the broader family of God. Each month, there's a different prayer focus, such as pray for families to know God's love, pray for broken families to be restored, pray for marriages, pray for second chances, and for salvation in our families. This Bible is perfect for families, but also for small groups and the church families too. You can go to theoneyearbible.com to learn more about this amazing and powerful resource. Again, that's theoneyearbible.com to learn more.
So you guys have probably heard me talk about IXL before, and that is because I truly love it. IXL is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum or offers a little more support at home that balances your school curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies. It adapts to each child, meeting them exactly where they are. So I have one kid who gets a little bored in math class and he wants more of a challenge. So I've used IXL to give him a little more work at home and really push him in his favorite subject. And then I have another child who's kind of struggled through some of his math units. And so we use IXL to get him a little more practice before those unit tests so that he feels more confident. And it has seriously been such a helpful tool for our family. IXL is easy to use. Everything is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it really simple to find activities for the exact skills that your kids are covering. IXL also offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. So it's really helpful if you're using it to get a little extra support and practice in a particular subject. Like my family, you can make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Christian Parenting Podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL memberships when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Again, you can visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the very best price.
That's a really long-winded way to answer your question.
No, I think it's such a beautiful story. And I love the way that God did prepare you in the way you let him. You know, because God can prepare us, but we have to be willing to follow his call for our lives. And you guys did that. And you did it enthusiastically, really. I mean, you guys just both jumped in because your life did change after Declan. Obviously, caring for him is a full-time job. So you can tell us a little bit about that. But then also your family vision changed where after you did the RV thing for a while, and then now you have a huge property with short-term rentals on it. And so that's where you guys are now. Like, how has this Declan in his life changed your family path?
He changed everything for us. And I won't get into details, but there was even a situation where he almost died at 2 years old, which even shifted things even more for us. And we both felt a calling to sell our house that we thought was our forever home, our dream home, and get rid of all our belongings and just open ourselves up, just completely open with no attachments, no nothing. Through this, you know, almost near-death experience that Declan almost had. And through that, we full-time RV'd for a year. We were able to travel all over the United States. And my goodness, you know, for two people, me and Jordan, who never wanted to stick out in the crowd, we always wanted to blend in and just be normal and just, you know, like sink into the wall. Our life just does not ask that of us at this point. God does not ask that of us. And so we're like, okay, God, stick us out in the middle. We're just going to be that, you know, Stephanie, you probably don't remember this because I don't know if we knew each other freshman year, but I drove the only red pickup truck in California my first year at Pepperdine and like stick out like a sore thumb. Like that was basically my whole life now is there's no hiding. We're just that red pickup truck in California. So
I'll pause here. Like everyone know that my husband drove the only other pickup truck at Pepperdine.
I love that. I love that so much. Kindred spirits.
Kindred spirits.
Man, here's to a life of just sticking out.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we full-time RV'd for a year. We were able to share Declan's story and our story of redemption and humility and releasing control. Everywhere we went, we were able to share that story. And then our third child was born. And shortly after that, God literally dropped this property out of the sky and said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to buy 20 acres. I don't know with what money that will be, but I will provide. And you're going to have cows, and you're going to remodel 7 cabins, and you're going to name it Duckies. And we said, okay, that's the plan. And so we did with, I don't know what money, I don't know how it happened, but somehow we were able to purchase this property. And for the last year, we have been renovating this space in hopes of, I mean, anybody can come stay, but at some point we have just a dream to start a nonprofit where we can gift stays to caregivers, foster parents, parents of children with disabilities, people that are caring for aging parents. I mean, it was just, you know that when you experience something in your life, God opens your eyes and lifts a veil for you to see those that you would not have seen otherwise. And that is an unseen population, the caregiver population, that our eyes have been opened to. We're so grateful that we do have caregiver help. My parents, especially, and other grandparents help us immensely. But we have eyes to see those that don't have that care. Mm. And so, I mean, this is God's story, but Declan is just his life. And currently he's blind. He's unable to walk. He's unable to talk. He's completely bottle fed. We no longer have the feeding tube, but he is full care. He's unable to sit. And so I would say he has severe special needs and functions at about a 3-month-old level. And we would not change.
He's almost 5.
Yes, he's almost 5.
Yeah.
And we would not change one part of that story. I would not trade any of it. Not one hard moment. I would not give it up for the heart change that Jordan and I have experienced. Jordan would later, after Declan was born, be baptized. And so he just has changed our lives. He's changed our goal, our mission, how we share the gospel, how we raise our children and what our goals are for our family and our children. All of that changed with the life, the precious, precious life that Declan brought to our world.
Only God can write a story like that. You know, like God, it's so easy to sit and say, like, God will make good out of all the things, you know, like God writes a good story, but you guys are such a living example of how God can take something that everyone else would view as really terrible and really hard, and he can make it beautiful and change your calling and change your life. And it's really incredible to hear how he moved in your family. So I appreciate.
I tell people there's, in my experience, in our life experience, I have seen two separate ways that God works. A, we live in a fallen world, and hard and bad and sad things are going to happen. Illness happens, genetic syndromes happen, sadness, you know, sad things happen because of the fall. God does make all things good because he is good, and he wants he loves us, and he wants his glory to be shown. So he does work in those situations. And then there are times where, and we've seen this in other ways, where he does allow hard things to happen. He does allow things for our good as well. So there really are, it is two ways, but both of them lead to the same place. Both of them lead to God does work for the good of those who love him. And it's ultimately for his glory and for his kingdom.
I want to end with, because all of us as parents, we all face challenges, and most of us do not have the challenges that you guys have in raising Ducky. But a lot of our listeners do have some kids who have special needs, whether it's, you know, something like ADHD or learning differences or just behavioral challenges right now, or there's all sorts. Everyone has, I could list all the challenges I'm having this week with parenting. So I would just love your encouragement to parents who are just feeling like, I'm not seeing the good right now. I'm not seeing the good in my situation.
Oh man, that is so, so hard. And I don't necessarily see myself just as a special needs mom. In fact, I will tell you, Declan's probably my easiest child. but, you know, God has given each one of us a calling for each of our children for a reason. And speaking more generally, I just was talking to somebody yesterday and telling them that I have felt since, for several years now, but since my first one was little, that God is calling this generation to something different and big, something hard, you know, something that our generation yes. didn't face. And sometimes that manifests in really challenging behaviors, that as we shape that later on, it's going to be something really awesome for the kingdom. And so my advice to parents is like, let go of some of that control of looking normal and looking okay. If you've got that child, which I do, one of my children, well, two, have that fiery personality, have some would call behavior like a behavior child or like a challenging behavior child. Like, try to change your mind shift to think, how does God want to use this for his kingdom? And this generation is going to be a generation of warriors. And that might look like hard in behavior right now, but later on, that's going to be warriors for the kingdom. And I believe that. And so I just challenge you to, I mean, of course, be in the Word. Of course, like, know how to equip yourself and your child, but don't worry so much about what everybody else is thinking about your child or how you're raising your child. Like, answer the call to how God has called you to raise your child. And whatever that personality, whatever those challenges are, know that there is great purpose for a time that is coming, and maybe a challenging time, but this generation is specifically going to be the only one that will be prepared for this calling that's coming.
That's good. I have some future kingdom warriors too that are spicy.
Spicy, very spicy. Warriors.
We can get them together. Yes. I'm like, I have a leader. I just have to raise her to be that instead of a mean girl. And maybe we'll go through little phases of both because, you know, it is, but she's going to be a leader and I know it. And it I think that's really good encouragement for those hard moments when I'm like, what is happening? What am I doing? Absolutely.
Okay. Fiery for the kingdom stuff.
Fiery for the kingdom. I'm going to just, I need that like on a poster in my wall. Fire for the kingdom. That's who we are. That's who we want. It's who we want to raise. It really is.
It is.
It just, God never told us it was going to be easy to do that.
No.
Okay, before we go, I want everyone to be able to find you and connect with you. So tell us where they can find you and your art too, because your art is beautiful. We didn't even touch on that. So I'll link all the stuff so they can find you.
So mainly I'm on Instagram at Tabitha Page Art. So you'll find life, artwork, family, a lot about Ducky and his story. And then through there, you can also find our Airbnb in Weatherford, Texas. It's called Ducky's TX is that Instagram, but you can find that all through Tab of the Page Art. And then I also have a business called Fox Hollow Studios where I write children's books, but that's all in one place. And you can find it on my website as well at tabofthepage.com.
Yeah, and I'll put that all in show notes so that people can get to all of the things. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me, Tabby. I'm so grateful that God has written such a beautiful story in your life and that you're willing to share it and that you're able to join me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was a gift.
Thank you for joining us today. I pray that you are encouraged by Tabby and her story. I have all the links to find her in the show notes, and of course, I encourage you to do so. May God bless you this week. May you remember that He writes your story and guides your path. He has prepared the way for you and created you to parent your kids in such a time as this. Rely on His goodness because He will never fail you. Thank you so much for listening to the Christian Parenting Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, you can do that now, and that way you won't miss an episode. You can connect with us on Instagram at christianparenting_org and see more resources at christianparenting.org. And if you're a mom raising daughters, we have the perfect course for you. Visit cpguides.org to learn more about our Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters online courses. And lastly, if you have enjoyed this podcast or other Christian parenting resources, please consider donating to this ministry. Visit christianparenting.org and click the donate button. Christian Parenting is 100% donor funded, and none of this would be possible without your help. We are so grateful for you. You're amazing. God bless you.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID, or visit your local DMV, and then you'll be cleared for takeoff.